Welcome back to a Thanksgiving edition of Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. Let's talk startups, or better put, the phases a startup must go through to be successful. Hold up your right hand. Now extend the thumb and the index finger. Close the other digits. Now, if you tilt a bit, it kind of looks like the shape of the letter J. That's the way a startup's curve looks on its way to being a successful company. The tip of the thumb, that's the fun/idea phase. Major momentum there. That dip between the thumb and the index finger, well, that's the doldrums, the horse latitudes, the challenge, the why the hell did I start this company phase. That's less fun, but there's hope at the tip of that finger if you can get there. The new book, The Startup J-Curve, offers 6 steps to entrepreneurial success. But Jason, you'll say, there are no guarantees in startups. Yes, I will reply, but this serial entrepreneur is also a serial investor. He's in it for the long haul. He's seen it from all sides. Here's my chat with a 35-year Silicon Valley success.
Howard Love, lifelong entrepreneur, 35 years in startups.
And the author of, can I say it?
Please.
The Startup J-Curve, subtitle, The 6 Steps to Entrepreneurial Success. Let's start there. Working definition of J-Curve, and then we'll move on.
The J-Curve describes the path that most startups take. You know, after having watched startups and being directly involved with them for 35 years, founding or co-founding 15 companies, investing in another 50 or 60, pattern starts to emerge. And, you know, my partner and I, David Heeman, were talking about this. And the pattern is a J. And what the J describes is that it is a map. It is what is highly likely going to happen to your startups. And talking with venture capitalists and so forth, it's, you know, and our experience, best guess is it's somewhere between sort of 85 and 95% of all startups will follow this pattern.
First of all, we're benefiting from 35 years experience in the startup space. Okay, that's it. So you're sharing your life experience and your business experience. It's kind of almost Startup for Dummies in a way. Model was the one that I got hung up on. Can you help me unpack what that part of the J is?
First, just to put it in context, the 6 steps are create, release, morph, model, scale, and harvest. And so model is where you try and figure out how you're going to make a business out of this. It's where you try and figure out where the revenue is going to come from, what your expense levels are going to be, and frankly, how you're going to make a profit. And what's perhaps unique about the J curve and is where the model phase is in the J curve. I think a lot of people want to try and figure out their business and how they're going to make money and everything else, like right at the beginning, right for the original, you know, business plan or whatever. But what the J-curve predicts is your initial product and your initial sort of concept of what the company is going to be probably isn't going to work. What I advocate is go through the first 3 processes first, which is create, release, morph, then figure out, you know, once you figured out your product, then figure out the model. And to do so prior is a little bit of a waste of time, because the most important thing is for you to get to the right product and the product that's going to make your company first. And once you have that, and once you have great customer traction, in my experience, there's always a way to make money from it.
So is morph more of consuming, if you will, data from your users? Is this the iterate or die phase is what I'm asking?
In short, yes and yes. Step one, the morph, is figuring out that your original business idea probably isn't going to work.
Okay.
And as I say, that is just totally normal. And I think it's devastating to a lot of people, and particularly if you don't see it coming and if you haven't, you know, read the book that says it's going to come. First step of morph is figure out, okay, the product isn't going to work, and embrace that fact, embrace that failure, and it is what it is. But the good news is there's almost always a small glimmer of hope that there's something in that darn thing that customers like. It almost always is not what you thought they were going to like, but there's always something that they're going to like. You know, the founder of Minted, a wonderful lady, you know, has a YouTube video, and she describes her original idea on Minted, just it didn't work, that they were going to, you know, create, you know, all these cards. And what ended up working was that, and in fact, a lot of, you know, wedding services and products. And what ended up working was the sort of marketplace for designers. And, you know, she says, look, it was this small glimmer of hope. It was a few orders here and there. So it's listening to that market data. It's realizing that your original conception probably isn't working, and it's just looking for that glimmer of hope, and then it's greatly moving the company and all the resources towards that glimmer of hope and dropping everything that's not working.
when I read the J curve and I look at the chapters and I look at the stages and I see create, okay, mm-hmm. fine. Okay, but past create, it seems like getting out of your own way seems to be a common theme that keeps moving through. And that's where success lies at the end of that road. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it's actually an excellent insight. And that's quite often that's precisely what it is. You know, I spend, as you see from reading the book, I spend a fair amount of time just imploring people to drop their preconceptions, to drop their notions about what they thought was going to work and do sort of things that are difficult, which is embrace failure. Embrace the fact that it just didn't work. Why do you embrace it? So you can move on to what's going to work.
Right.
So yeah, that's a matter of getting out of your own way. And you know what? The startups that don't do that and the startups that don't get out of their own way and insist that it's their way or the highway, you know, usually they die.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a different curve than the J. It doesn't sort of go up at the end.
Right. I'm interested also in your investment experience as well. Now, this book, of course, we're speaking with Howard Love, by the way, the author of The Startup J Curve. I encourage everybody to read it. Is there a stage somewhere along the J curve that you show interest, maybe not write a check yet, but start to show interest?
Well, the J curve from an investor's perspective is really interesting because if you look at the shape of the curve, what it tells you, the curve is it does represent a value curve amongst other things. It's also sort of the emotional journey. Mm-hmm. But what it tells you is that the investments that are made right at the beginning are probably a little overpriced because it's just not going to pan out like it says in the, you know, in the pitch deck.
Right.
But what it also tells you is if you've got a great entrepreneur and a great team and they're really dedicated to the mission, don't bail at the bottom. The toughest thing for a startup is when you're in that bottom of the J.
Yeah.
And you know what? Investors aren't taking your calls. Why? Because things aren't really working. So in as much as things might be a little overpriced at the very beginning, the truth is at the bottom of the J curve, they're probably a little underpriced. And that's the place where I think as an angel investor and someone who backs startups, like you can't bail on your founding team. Like if they're in this, then yeah, you got to gonna have to whip out your checkbook and, you know, come up with a little something extra to keep the gang going and keep some oxygen in the room because they need that. Where startups really, really, really need investors is at that bottom when things just look pretty bad.
Interesting.
That's where, as an angel investor, you know, you got to step up. And then it also, the J curve, I would say the third thing is the J curve, you know, shows you that the value creation is after actually the first three or four steps. That's when that curve starts to actually go up and to the right and at a pretty darn steep angle. And that's specifically in the scale part of the curve and the harvest. And what's interesting is that the venture capital community really plays at the early part of the scale stage. And you can see why that makes sense, right? I mean, they might put some little placeholder bets out there earlier, but the truth of the matter is where their real money comes in is early scale. And it's entirely logical. It makes sense. And you know what? Venture capitalists, to their credit, I mean, they're very good at scale. You know, they're more challenged at the earlier parts of the curve where there's just so much uncertainty and so much unknown and they can't really explain things to their partners and they can't really explain things to their investors. And, you know, that's just tough.
Right.
But early scale where like the model's basically proven out, the product has traction, the team's kind of proven itself, you know, pretty easy pitch to their partners, pretty easy pitch to their investors. And frankly, the companies need that kind of money and that kind of expertise.
That's a great answer because I'm realizing as I listen to you describe it and knowing your success, I just do not have the stones to be an angel investor. I am a late seed dude if I come in with anything. And so
hard. You know what? My partner, David Heeman, my venture partner and I, we've been at this. We've been venture investing for almost 25 years. We still say to one another weekly, and this is after being at this game for a very long time, weekly we'll say to one another, you know, this is really hard.
All right. We're speaking with Howard Love, the author of The Startup J Curve. He's a serial entrepreneur, serial investor. I have a macro question to end with. I wish we could keep you longer. In your experience, the top three most common shortcomings you've seen in startups?
That is an incredibly interesting question, and it is indeed probably, you know, it's definitely one of the best questions I've ever been asked about this book. So thanks for asking it. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're not obvious, and yet I see them every day. The most common thing that I see from entrepreneurs have a tendency to think that money solves all ills, and they tend to think that their number one issue is they just need more money. But what I see when I dig down into each one of those individual companies, you know what? They don't need money. I'd say maybe 20% of them, you know, might need some money.
Right.
But money does not solve all ills. You need to nail the product. And do you need massive amounts of money to nail the product? No. Do you need huge teams to nail the product? No, you do not. Do you need huge amounts of money to market a product that's really good? The answer is no, you do not. And so, you know, for everyone who's sitting there, every entrepreneur is like, I just need more money. I would just ask them to take a deep, hard look and ask, is that really, really, really necessary? So let's call that number one.
All right.
Number two, which is directly related in a way, is I see companies that want to scale before they nail the product. Okay. You never scale before you nail. You nail before you scale. You right. don't scale before you nail. So scaling before you nail it is when you don't have the product really fully baked, you don't really have massive customer traction, and you don't have the model baked, okay? So think about it. If you don't have those things, those ducks in line, and you scale it, it's a disaster.
You've scaled a mistake.
You've scaled a monster, right? Uh-huh. I mean, you scaled a mistake. Yes, that's a great way to put it. And so you've just taken all this imperfection and now small imperfections, which were fixable. Now they're huge imperfections. And you know what? Very, very tough to fix when they're that big. And I would say, you know, the third thing, which is so critical, the most important sort of part of the J curve, as you can imagine, is the dip in the J, which is the morph and model phase. And in order to really be good at the morph phase, you have to be ready to let go of your preconceptions. You've just got to be ready to listen to what the market is telling you and let go of what you thought everything was going to be.
Those are three great macro takeaways, Howard. Thank you for that. And if you want to get a little bit deeper, you really need to get into the J curve. And again, I just don't have the stones to get in there at the bottom of the J curve. I'm glad people like you exist out there. Howard, thanks a lot for your time.
You're very welcome, Jason. Thank you so much for having me.
That was Howard Love. He's a serial entrepreneur and serial investor and the author of The Startup J Curve, The 6 Steps to Entrepreneurial Success. For a link to this segment and, well, any of our segments, check out kgoradio.com/techonomics or wherever you score your podcasts. Coming up after the break, cash and who carries it. Hint, it is not who you might think. More from the Federal Reserve is next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.